This is SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
This episode of The Secrets of Once Upon a Time is brought to you by Bluehost, a great hosting company for your blog or your website, and very affordable. Just way too many features to mention here in this very short, brief advertisement, but if you go to sqpn.com/bluehost, you can find all the information you need. And by the Amazon store, click on the link on our website, onceuponatime.sqpn.com, before you shop at Amazon, and your purchase will help support our show.
Ariel.
Back. I'm back, and we are all back for a new episode of Secrets of Once Upon a Time, the one before the last episode of this year, 2013. And today I'm joined by Lisa and David to talk about this episode, which I actually don't know what the name was of this particular episode. Probably has something to do with Pan. Does anyone know?
Wasn't it called The New Neverland?
The New That's Neverland. Oh, that makes sense. That makes sense, especially seeing the reveal at the end of Pan's plans. So unfortunately, I couldn't be there last week. I was so sorry, but I had to be in Rome. I know it's a lousy excuse, but I couldn't even see the episode over there because the Wi-Fi was not good enough. And so, well, I'm glad to be back because, well, we're clearly the story is going to some kind of a cliffhanger. Or something dramatic is about to happen. And I really liked last week's episode, so I was very sad that I couldn't be part of the discussion. But fortunately, we can talk about this week's episode, The New Neverland. And as always, I want to start with a general question. How do you rate this episode? David, let me start with you. And perhaps you should unmute, because I cannot use any spells to do that from my end. David is in a car, so sometimes
Sorry
he mutes
that.
Himself. Go ahead.
Sorry. I had to... So my impression of this is just... I love the episode, but... just the start was... Start was just a little bit too. They showed Ariel and then she was gone. Mm-hmm. So I kind of got let down from the start.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd give it. I mean, overall, I'd probably give it a 7.5. It was just overall great, but I was hoping for a little bit more of the Ariel, and then they just completely.
Yeah.
Went off on another day.
Good point. We'll talk about Ariel and her fish-loving lover when we get to the
loving,
episode.
I don't know if loving is the operative word. But yeah.
Well, we'll talk about that. Lisa, what about you? How did you rate this episode?
I liked it. I didn't like it as much as last week necessarily, but it was, I'd say, 7-8, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Pretty good.
I liked coming back. I liked getting back to... the way they wove the flashbacks in with what Storybrooke's going on. And, I hate to keep saying that every week, but it feels like they're getting back to some of their storytelling that they did in the first season and then part of the second.
Mm-hmm.
With their, Emma versus Regina, even though they don't hate each other, they're still at odds, and they got Henry in the middle. And it was fun having the guy who plays Pan in Storybrooke and, letting him keep going with this character. I liked, I liked the addition of the act. I forgot his name, Robbie Kay, I think, the actor.
Yeah, he's great. So. I mean, he's a terrific addition to the cast. And even if he probably might not survive this season, it's still great to have like a new face, but someone who can really act and act well. And it's kind of uneven this season. That's my opinion. But yeah, he does a terrific job, and he truly is a real villain And that's now that Regina is so nice and motherly, you kind of really need someone who's truly evil. You know, all the old familiar evil people have turned to the light side, and just, you know, it's not once upon a time if there is no threat to that ever, you know, that ever after happily living after ever after.
I was joking with Shelley, and I said, maybe they should let us keep Robbie Kay, and we should just keep Henry in his body. And then that solves the problem of Henry aging. And,
good point.
I was thinking about that, too, because then he could, you know, this Henry would be, you know, that actor would be out of the picture. And then you're going to have this new guy who's made a pretty good impression on everyone so far.
Yeah.
But something tells me that would be asking a lot. Yeah, that would be a little bit too cruel, I think, to the original cast. But anyway, I would rate this one a 7 out of 10. Although I generally liked it, but just like you said, David, I was a bit disappointed by some of the resolutions, some of the moments where I was like, oh gosh, this would be such a great moment for character development, and instead, well, they just need to push this thing forward because we're approaching the end of the December, and they need to, you know, end this first half of the entire season. It's just one of those uneven episodes where there are really great moments and there's some other stuff that is pretty bad, and unfortunately, also a return to very, very bad CGI. I mean, just I thought we were on the way up, but man, there must be some magic spell to ruin it all. This episode had moments where I felt like I was looking at a video game from 1996. You know, like one of those pre-rendered cutscenes that you would have in these early video games, and it looked so unrealistic, and it was just. Anyway, I'll talk about my pet peeves later on. But first, let's focus on the story. That's why we are here. Let's start in a fishy way. We get to see the return of the pirate ship to Storybrooke and the reunion of Ariel and her lover. And I have no idea what his name is.
Eric,
there you go. And I thought it was a brilliant moment when she approaches him and he is just like putting all his anger and energy into cutting fish heads off the fish. And then she says something like, oh, he really mustn't like me. It was brilliant. And in a way, I think I was wondering, is Eric working for this fish shop, the what was it, the fish and chips store that we saw? Is he just working in the harbor?
I don't think they really said. My thought was
I thought it was just seeing that building in the background for two seasons, and I was like, there's got to be a link with Ariel. But anyway, I thought they did a nice job here. It was a funny joke. The reunion was a bit sappy and a bit kind of rushed, right? It's like, oh, it's you, let's kiss. Oh, there's pirate ship. You know, come on, give it two more minutes, you know.
Definitely felt like they were just trying to get that out of the way. You're like, yes. Oh, we got to wrap up that end. Let's move on.
I mean, I was impressed by how...
Yeah, he's been taking out his anger on these fish for, what, 30 years now, or 28, 29 years now. Just and now it's like, oh, okay, I'm fine.
Yeah. And it's kind of interesting to see that Eric, even though he sees Ariel, after all this time, still has the wits to first take off his, what is it, the protective, how do you call that? The thing that he used to protect his clothes against the fish.
The big apron thing?
Yeah, the apron. So he has the wits to take off his apron before he embraces Ariel. And she must be used to, you know, fishy-smelling people. So anyway, it was a bit funny. And then, of course, you get this. And this was weird. There was a lot of slow motion in the beginning of this episode. Did you notice that? You had the moment where they left the ship, and it was almost like that shot from The Lord of the Rings, where the Fellowship is going over the mountains, and there's this hero shot where one by one you see them coming over a hill, and they just stop for just 1 second and look around, and in slow motion they move away again. And with this ship, it was the same thing. It's like, oh, we're all so, this is such a momentous moment, but right. Rather than acting, let's just use slow motion. It was a bit strange. I mean, and kind of out of place, I felt. And there was a lot of slow motion hugging as well. What I liked was the isolation of Regina. I thought that was pretty well done. I mean, her acting, her face was like, it's the only person that no one cares for. And I think that first I thought it was like, okay, that shows that, you know, again, just by being evil for so long, she has no friends and she has difficulty relating to people. And then later on in the episode, you understand that this is all a setup. It's kind of preparing us and her for the love that all of a sudden Henry, or at least what we think is Henry, is pouring out towards her. So it's this loneliness that makes her vulnerable in a way, makes her long for love and to be loved. And that's when she's blinded by that love, which occasionally is also kind of the main theme of this episode. Because when I was watching this, I was like, why the whole the flashbacks to this Medusa story? I was like, it didn't make sense to me. It felt so kind of like random, and it's a mythological creature, so it's like, what? And it's really at the end of the story, it's like, oh, of course, it's this whole idea of, you know, love makes you blind. And of course, this whole Medusa, the thing is, if you look her in the eyes, then you basically, not only does it blind you, but it turns you into stone. So
this definitely felt like they were kind of struggling to find something to fill in the spot. You know, like they're trying to get us to next week and they needed some sort of flashback, you know, story.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it. Don't get me wrong. I always enjoy I enjoy Snow flashback more than I enjoy Mary Margaret. Mm-hmm. And it's probably wrong, but I just do. So I enjoyed seeing them together and they're always cute and all of that. But plot wise, you know.
I mean, it didn't really add a whole lot to the backstory other than just, you know, we know that she can get really angry.
Hello.
Hello, it's Inga joining us. What a surprise. And I'm whistling innocently.
I knew I shouldn't come in a chat room.
Inga, it's actually, for the listeners wondering how all of a sudden Inga just materializes in our midst, we used very strong magic because actually this is her day off. So she's not even allowed to work, but, you know, she was hanging in the chat room, and I was like, okay, if you're hanging out in the chat room, then we might as well bring you into the Skype call.
When I see Shelly's available, too, she's
there. Call her.
But isn't she, like, wrapped up in a meeting, or?
No, she sent me a message.
Oh, wow. She's good. Yeah. Okay, well, hey, this is getting interesting.
Party time.
Yes, very good, very good. Well, it's nice to have this reunion. It's very fitting for this episode where everybody's reunited and you have these slow motion hugs. Well, we're doing the same here on Skype.
We are coming off the ship in between the heroes and the Lost Boy. So that's, we were kind of invisible, but we came off the ship as well.
Yes, you were the lost, the lost tribe.
But we're all in our own bodies, though, so I'm okay with that.
Are you sure about that, David?
No, no comments.
Who knows which evil plans lurk? Anyway, while we are trying to add Shelley to the call, let me ask you, Inga, what was your general impression of the episode?
Like you said, I was kind of, first I was like, okay, I'm not too impressed. So, but later on it got better. I was also kind of, how do you say that? Surprised that the whole Medusa thing came up. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, now something is going to happen. And then Medusa got made of stone. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, so what's the point of it? So I couldn't make the connection to the main story.
Well, they actually stayed pretty true to the Medusa mythology, you know, and how she died. And I mean, they did pretty good job, you know, with using the shield as a mirror and her making herself, what's it called? Turned to stone. They did it for once. They stayed true to a mythology rather than changing it all up. So I was a little surprised by that.
Yep. Well,
it gives the word petrified a whole new meaning.
Someone who I thought had turned into stone because we didn't hear a peep out of her, but she is still on the call, is Shelly.
Hi, sorry.
Y'all you are talking, awfully so I quiet. I mean, I'm impressed.
Well, and I don't know how far you've gotten, but I did not like the Medusa part at all. I mean, it was true to the mythology, but it was, pardon the expression, it was filler.
Yeah.
There was so much else going on that it was almost I'd have to really sit and think about the lesson that Snow learned. It was, and pardon me for going here, but I just felt like the actress herself didn't look as put together as Snow in those scenes. The wig that they were using looked disheveled, like they literally brushed it off. And her makeup wasn't as perfect as it usually is.
I agree, and there was some weird filter over all everything, and it looked a bit strange. Though too much contrast, and then the parts with where she's in this wedding dress, and it was all felt a bit off.
And I kept thinking, maybe they ran out of time, or they had something else, and they had to write this and film it really quick and throw it in for timing. But
I have a completely different theory about that.
Oh.
The actress in real life is pregnant. I think they found out about it, and they had to change the storyline very quickly.
No way, really?
Yeah. Yeah. My daughter, when they showed the wedding dress, my daughter goes, "That dress makes her look big." And I laughed, and I said, "She's pregnant." And she, she's not got a belly, but you can just tell she looks different in the same clothes.
Yeah,
she looks pregnant. She looked very different. Yeah.
Wow.
But the wig.
So I was laughing. But yeah, the wig did look a little off. It looked
like a bird had nested in it or something like that.
Okay. Well,
made me think of Radagast in The Hobbit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
We were watching it, and we looked at each other, and we went, okay, which one's going to get turned to stone, her or him? I mean, it was a little too predictable.
Yes. It was kind of formulaic. But yeah, actually, that makes sense that they're kind of rushed because, well, you know, a pregnancy can definitely change everything all of a sudden, and especially if it's one of the main characters. Wow.
Well, did you notice how many times in the last two episodes they've talked about
starting
Mary,
a new
David,
family. Oh, you're right.
Starting a baby, starting
you're
a family.
So right. That's it. That's it.
They're going to write this into the storyline.
Wow.
You know? I'm betting that they will now.
I totally didn't see that coming, but now it all makes sense. This is so interesting.
So when you see her in her Xena, the warrior princess outfit with the pants, she has she wears a belt high on her waist.
Okay.
So normally it's much lower. So I was could totally tell this was all done to because the actress is pregnant.
And nowadays with Photoshop, and you know, you can even like slim people down, but I guess that they don't have the budget for that. But that explains a lot of things. I was a bit puzzled. I was like, something is off, and I couldn't really figure out what it was. But this totally makes sense, and it also kind of gives us an indication how well, at least, that there is some big reveal going to happen probably next week, right?
Excited about that.
Yeah.
Well, we spent about half a season, Bridge about a week.
Uh-huh.
So now they are back in Storybrooke. You don't tell me that next week she's pregnant all of a sudden. That's
didn't you notice that in this episode, Prince Charming all of a sudden is very charming. He seems to be, he wants to be really charming all the time. And I was like, whoa, this, again, that was like, so what is going on here? He never really acted like this.
Yeah, it was a little over the top.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they're a couple in real life.
I know.
So maybe their real life is bleeding into their characters. I don't know.
Interesting. Wow. It's kind of cool to see that real life is now actually changing the story. That is something you rarely see on television.
Yeah.
But let's go back to Storybrooke here for a moment. So everybody, finally, after all that slow motion stuff, is off the ship. I was almost a bit suspicious that they were doing the slow motion because they actually weren't able to fill all the minutes. And it's like, oh, let's do some slow motion. We'll fill some more time.
Well, with our what we've said about Medusa and the others. So.
Yeah. This episode did have a little bit of that.
we're gonna come back to Medusa and that whole story later on, but it's very interesting to see that reunion between Belle and Rumpel. That actually was pretty well done. I like that reunion. And you see that Rumpel is a changed man. And he is, I mean, he's almost like he's gone through hell and back. And there is a bit of maturity in him. I don't know. I really liked it. I also like that moment where they, his son who gives him the stick, you know, the with the gold knob on it. Neil, yeah, the cane.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, no. That's the man I used to be.
That was nice. And he said he would keep it as a reminder of the man he used to be and is not anymore. And they genuinely hugged. I thought that, and that was a very nice scene.
Yes, yes.
And so I was wondering, does it mean that it, so his undoing, I was wondering maybe it would be referred to as evilness. So his evilness has been undone.
Well, I don't know. I think there might be still something to that whole prophecy thing. But let me play a clip here that Inga prepared, by the way. Thank you. of what Belle says to Rumpel now that Rumpel is back and Henry seems to be back. And so, well, the prophecy clearly was wrong.
The boy wasn't your undoing. Neither was Pan. So now you can stop worrying about prophecies and start thinking about your future. There's endless possibilities, countless paths to take.
But there's only one of those paths I'm interested in.
Which one's that?
The one where you and I are together.
Oh, so romantic. But... I mean, while she's saying, you know, we can forget about all these prophecies, these silly prophecies. It was like, yeah, in your dreams.
I really...
Read Harry Potter? Deborah! She appears in a puff of purple smoke all of a sudden.
Oh, no. No, I was thinking, I was feeling a little cynical about that part of everything. Because I'm like, yeah, he's really turned a corner, but for how long? I would say probably one episode. I think the next episode, and we'll be seeing, you know, the old gold coming back out.
Oh, can't you just come on. Kind of?
I want to blend. I think he's going to take the good.
I want
to
believe.
Wait, how many times have we had this conversation now?
Well,
think about it. Like Regina, oh, she's better. Oh, wait, no, she's evil. Yeah, no.
I know. But
we
I still
have to deal with Pan. Pan is still his father. There's still a wound open. We're gonna get more.
He is vulnerable. Whenever someone starts to love, that's when you become vulnerable. And if there's evil around, there's gonna be trouble. But I still think that Rumpel has changed, like, profoundly. I mean, he can never go back to the evil person he was. There already has been some redemption, and the same is true for Hook. And even though they might still have their, you know, their tendencies, but that's different. There is something has been healed already. I keep believing in kind of the healing strength of that love that is constantly the kind of the message of this show. But you're right. I mean, that nothing is resolved yet, and I personally believe that this episode seems to indicate that the prophecy is still ahead of us. And the fact that Henry and Pan now have switched bodies, and Pan is still looking to kill Henry to get his heart and to rule Storybrooke, there might be still an occasion for Rumpel to sacrifice himself in order to save Henry. And you know what I liked about this episode is, for the first time, the writers make it clear that even important characters are not safe, because we had a death in this episode and I didn't see it coming. And I hope this lady is going to stay dead. I mean, I really appreciate that she's a nun and I wish her all the best in heaven, but...
She's a fairy.
She's also a fairy, so I'm not sure about her vocation anyway. And
she's wearing a crucifix, so she's a nun.
Aww. I didn't even catch that. That's great.
It's on the. It's like a brooch on her chest.
I mean, we noticed she's a nun. She was the mother superior, right?
Is she really dead?
Well, I hope so. I hope so. Not for her, but for us. I hope. I mean, if death is not something permanent, that annoyed me quite a few times in Storybrooke. That you think something
Philip something wasn't dead.
Dramatic happens, and then they resolve it so quickly. It's like the even the whole Pandora thing, you know, letting Pan's body with Henry's spirit out of the box, the way that Rumpelstiltskin escaped. I mean, like, I would appreciate it if the writers would dare to keep us a little bit more in these tensions that they kind of like. Make us long for the reappearance of Rumpelstiltskin. Let us really miss people. Don't resolve it too quickly. I think that's kind of too easy. But perhaps they have to just keep people interested. And I kind
of That's also what irked me about the box, because it was the box of the most evil, and you should wear gloves to handle it. Mm-hmm. And people just pop in and out of the box like it's just kind of a portable person carrier or something like that.
They hyped it up as something like, what was it? Rumpel said it was like, you know, a fate worse than death. And, they're really hyping it up. And no, it's more just like it's like a genie in a bottle thing. Like, okay, I'm still waiting for the.
They're not even
maybe,
here.
Maybe what's he so bad about that dream box? World with the flames?
But that was still kind of scary, and you're like, wow, if you're in that situation, that must really hurt. But with the box, they don't really create that emotional experience. It's like, well, what's so wrong about it? They're not even coughing because of the red smoke. I mean,
there are times when I
maybe
feel
they
like
are
the writers,
maybe they are tortured, but they don't show it.
Yeah, there are times when I feel like the writers are doing more of a plot driven than a character driven story.
Yeah. Yeah.
And instead of putting a character and how the character would respond into a situation, I kind of feel like they're moving a plot. They've got an end. It happens, I think, often when we get closer to finales. They're trying to tell a story. They're trying to lead us to a point. And sometimes they rush it, and sometimes they take too long. Finding that balance must be really tricky as a TV writer.
Yep, yep. And there's a lot of pressure on them, of course, to, you know, just keep the ratings up, and they need to drive the story forward, because that's how they can keep people coming back for, you know, more solutions. And but it almost feels like these old-fashioned cartoons in a newspaper where you would create a cliffhanger and then it would be resolved the next day, and then that episode would also end with another cliffhanger, and it would just go from cliffhanger to cliffhanger, but also the resolutions would be very quick. So that if you missed an episode, it didn't really matter that much, and you can pick up the story quite easily, without being lost. But anyway, I think that there is still something to this prophecy. They kind of brush it off a bit too quickly, and I hope that it actually is part of this winter finale that we're going to see.
I have a new hypothetical for you.
Oh, go ahead. Ooh. Go ahead.
Well. He saw the seer, and she gave him the prophecy after he was a grown man, and after he'd become Rumpelstiltskin, the Dark One, right?
Yeah.
And she said, the boy will be your undoing. Well, Pan is a boy. It's his father, but he's a boy.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
So he's always assuming it means Henry, but.
Oh, interesting.
It goes back to we don't know what your undoing means either.
We don't know the undoing. We don't know who the boy is. We don't just know that it has to do something with Rumpel. Fascinating. Well, anyway, we know that this show is all about this happy future that is constantly robbed from our main characters. Otherwise, you don't get tension. And you know, it's the end of the story. So now that Rumpel seems to be reunited with Belle, and there and same is true for Snow and Charming, and something needs to happen. There needs to be pain. I don't really want it. You don't wish it for anyone, but for the story, there needs to be a new crisis. And so to me, it feels like, well, Rumpel or Belle. Something needs to happen to them, and I think Belle has already suffered enough. And now it's time for Rumpel, and let Belle be a hero again. Plus, there is this unresolved story. I just want to remind everyone of that, of this prophecy about Regina's future, and that she would meet her true love, and we happen to know that is Robin Hood. Where is he, and how is he going to be involved in this story? I don't know.
Well, he's in an enchanted forest with Mulan.
Yep.
I think that's going to happen spring.
Mm,
after the winter break, I think we're going back to the Enchanted Forest.
Based on that preview, I'd say that's a pretty good bet.
Interesting. Oh. Now, we also have a bit of a resolution of the Tinkerbell story. She, too, is, of course, part of the company that returns to Storybrooke. She faces Mother Superior while she's still alive, and she's like, oh, yeah, actually, I just made the, what is it, the pixie dust glow for a second. And then she's like, well, if you can't believe in yourself, then how can I believe in you? That was kind of harsh, I think.
She's not very nice.
I think it was to make us not feel bad when she gets her shadow ripped away from her. And you're like, what? All this redemption everywhere and all this love, and you're just going to throw that back in her face?
Yes, yes. It was a bit harsh. But then all of a sudden you get Regina, and she is now like, Mother Superior, I have something to tell you.
Give Tinker wings back.
In case you forgot, I don't take orders from you.
She helped us. She's earned it. She even got pixie dust to work again.
Really? Let's see. Well, briefly, I mean, sort of glowed for a moment. It's not something I can do at the drop of a hat.
Well, then there's a problem.
What?
You don't believe in yourself anymore. How can I believe in you if you can't even do that?
I need a drink.
I love the Aussie accent.
I also love how she deals with this crisis. I need a drink.
I need a drink, yeah. It's pretty cool. But I thought it was kind of nice that Regina defends Tink. And it's again, it's another sign of a friendship that was broken and that was betrayed by Regina. And now it's Regina's turn to redeem herself or redeem that friendship by asking Mother Superior for a restoration of Tink's wings, which, of course, is going to happen one way or another. Just not
how?
By
because
Mother Superior.
Mother Superior is...
Well, but there are other fairies who can do that, right?
She'll believe in herself. Yep. We'll all clap.
Yep.
Yeah.
She's going to fly at
yeah,
one
they
point.
They haven't done that, right? Because in the original Peter Pan, it was about clapping and we believe in you and... Yeah, so we've got to have a shot there.
I
thought that would happen back when they first met her and they all were like, I believe in you. Yeah. I believe in you.
And all of a sudden, she would have her wings back. Well, perhaps she will be able to fly without wings, you know?
Like with a cloak?
No, just because people believe in her and then she realizes, well, you know what? I don't even need these wings. I just have all this faith and all this love from the people to carry me upwards. Anyway, we'll see. But there is definitely something that needs to be resolved. And there is now someone after her, which was kind of cool too. Hook, who promises Charming... No, what was it? I get confused. Promises Neil that he won't go after Emma. And Neil's like, you want to do that? Oh, that's cool. That's kind of nice. And then he immediately needs, of course, some compensation for this loss. And so he goes after Tinkerbell. And then you kind of expect this romance to flourish. And they both need a drink and more than one drink. And then Tinkerbell is like, yeah, right. I'm not stupid. I'm not going to fall for that.
Oh, I loved her line. Like, I lost my wings, but I didn't lose my dignity.
Yes. I thought it was brilliant. And
that was a nice twist.
Very, very emancipated.
That's a good line.
She knows Hook. I mean, you know, I mean, they've got a long history on that Neverland Island for we don't know how long. So it was kind of nice that she's like, no, but you know what? I know you. Go away.
And those lines were really the highlights of this episode. That's why it was kind of like checkered flag. Some parts were really lame and other parts were really good, like this one. But the ladies are usually the better actors, I think, in this series, at least right now. Then we have this story, of course, of Henry having the spirit of Pan in him and now is, sees that Regina is isolated and then you get this whole, and that too was kind of nicely played. And well acted. He wants to stay with Regina because he's got this ulterior plan to find magic and to seize power. And Regina, of course, having this hole in her heart and a boy who is ready to fill that hole, she's like, okay. And there is this... It was very sad to see how Emma is like... At first, she's saddened and then she starts to become suspicious and she feels that something is off. And Regina can't sense that because she's blinded by her love for Henry. I thought it was all really touching and a nice kind of love. It's kind of a different type of love triangle in a way.
Mm-hmm. I liked that Emma, you know, we always talk about her special power was being able to tell when people are lying. And then we always make fun of her for not really being able to tell. But I liked here that she kind of caught on that mother's instinct that something's not quite right with him.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not right. And Regina just, she's just desperate to be loved. So she doesn't want to see, you know, any flaw or any problem with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was actually one of my favorite parts of this episode, how Regina and Emma and Pan/Henry interacted. And
yes.
I love the line where she told, when Emma tried to say, you know, you've known him too. You know, something's off about him. Oh, no, you're just mad because he's picking me. And she's like, no, really, that's not it. And, no, that's what it is. You're just jealous. And,
right.
And Emma didn't go anywhere. I mean, she didn't rise to that.
She didn't argue.
She didn't take it. She just kind of. Okay,
well, she had that sixth sense that something was off. And and we, of course, can totally see that everything is off. This is so not Henry at all. And there was this moment in Granny's restaurant where there's the book, the fairy tale book, is reappears, and Henry doesn't seem to be too excited about it.
Thanks for the read, Mom.
What do you think? Was that just a story device to make a transition to the flashback, or is there more to this book? Is it?
Because I think the purpose of that book was one, to trigger Emma, and two, not to jump ahead of you, but everybody I hope has watched the show. But at the end, when he says, "Surely you didn't keep it down here." And she's like, well, where else would I keep it? And we find out what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. He learned about that in the book.
Oh. That's it.
I didn't realize that. Right.
Smart.
He read that book cover to cover and boom, fixated. He knew exactly. After that, he's like, where's your vault, Mom? Did you bring your vault with you?
Yes. Well, of course, yeah, let's listen to that that part of the dialogue.
Lights out, young man. Mom, your vault. Did you bring that over with you?
Yes, Henry, you know that.
With all your magic?
Why are you asking all these questions?
Because I might need that stuff to protect myself from Pan.
Oh, honey, he can't hurt you. He's locked up in Gold's shop.
But what if he gets out? What if he finds a way to come after me?
Magic isn't the answer. My vault is sealed shut for a reason. It's dangerous. I'll protect you. No matter what.
I thought that was pretty interesting because of this one thing that she says. Magic is not the answer. And yes. I mean,
is that the first person she's ever said something like that?
Yes.
First time she's ever said something like that.
It's funny that even though she's blinded for the danger, she's very vulnerable, at the same time, she is actually, for the first time, really telling the truth, and she's truly being herself, and so I love this because this is constantly in her life. It's always been her fear that if she truly loves, she will become vulnerable. That's why she always refused reconciliation and mercy, because she didn't want to be vulnerable. And now this first moment that she can truly give herself, and she is completely disarmed because she's reunited with her son, and the love seems to be, you know, seems to go both ways. That exactly is when evil gets a hold of her again. But this time she is not the author of evil, but it's Pan. So there's some interesting life lessons in that. So the vault.
Beautifully done.
Yeah. Yeah.
The whole Regina storyline in the last 3-4 episodes has been fantastic, spot on, exactly. If you're looking at characters and character development, it's what you want to see.
Yes.
I agree. I haven't been able to participate in the last couple episodes, but I'm like, oh, I hope they touch on how wonderful Regina has shaped up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just in awe of her character development. I mean, the rest of them, I'm kind of at this point with the with the prince and, you know, and Snow. I'm kind of bored with that, but I'm really loving Regina at this point.
It's also she never disappoints.
It's also the total opposite of what when she was on Neverland. The whole time she was nagging, let me use magic, let me use magic.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yes, no, it was kind of a reversal to see her come out and say magic is not the answer. And you felt for her the whole time, didn't you?
Yeah.
You were like, definitely. He's playing you.
Yeah.
You let yourself be all soft and vulnerable and you're going to get, you know, in trouble. And then you're not going to do it again.
Yeah. And then
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Father, isn't that exactly why people like Grumple and Regina had become evil in the first place? To protect themselves from the pain of being vulnerable to love?
Yes. That's totally it. So, it was fear.
So the big question is, where will she go from there? Will she revert back? Will she allow herself to be... Will she be hurt by this pain and go back to being evil, or will she still have learned the lesson and be willing to keep trying and keep forgiving and keep loving and being open?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I think the fact that later on when Henry comes in as Pan, you know, like mm-hmm. the Robbie K, but he's Henry, comes in and she says something about, I just wanted him to love me or something. And Henry rushes forward and that was embraces her for that. I think that is a healing moment for her.
That was beautiful. Yeah. Although it must mm-hmm. be a bit psychologically strange that it's just this dude that you've learned to hate so much, and then all of a sudden, no, it's really me. Yeah, but you still
look. They always do that in movies and TV, and like they handle it without any problems. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but in real life, that would be a little freaky.
Yeah. I would be totally freaked out.
Just saying.
So, it's only because your 12-year-old isn't squealing and giggling every time Robbie K comes on the screen.
No, she's there.
They let him out of that box, and my girls were like, oh, it's Robbie K.
Oh, really? Oh, my gosh. and now he's nice.
Ears.
And now he's
like,
nice.
His ears are like Dumbo.
Okay.
That's mean.
Interesting.
I'm just glad my daughter doesn't notice any of this.
She's a tad too young for that. But there is this big, big question for me, and that is, you know, I see how evil Pan is, and he truly is a very, very huge villain in this season. But haven't we learned over time that there is always a reason for someone to be this bad? And what strikes me is that for both Rumpelstiltskin and for Regina, we've learned that, you know, the origin of them choosing evil over goodness was pain, was lost relationship, etc. For Pan, for Rumpelstiltskin's father, it all seems to be just kind of egotism, like very self-centered. It's almost as if there is no redemption possible for this guy. Yes, he was made fun of when he was, you know, stealing people's money by playing them with this stupid game. But how did he become like that? And how can you redeem someone if there is nothing to heal, if all that seems to be the origin of this evil is just self-centeredness?
He doesn't even regret leaving behind Rumple.
No.
Not at all.
No, there's no regret. I mean, it's like what they call in Catholic theology, like the sin against the Holy Spirit. It's basically when you truly, utterly refuse love, but the Holy Spirit is love. So, there is no forgiveness possible because there is nothing in you that longs to be forgiven. And so, and it almost seems like this Pan, is he redeemable or not? And he's so locked up in himself. And there seems to be no boundaries to his evil.
He's in denial because he wants to be a boy, which he's clearly not. So he kind of hides, runs away from his responsibilities.
Oh, yeah, true.
And I also was wondering, so how does Pan know so much about magic? Because when he was still Rumple's father, Colin, mm-hmm. he just was playing people. He was just swindling. Mm-hmm. And so he became a Pan, and now suddenly he knows all about magic. And he's very good and very mm-hmm. powerful at mm-hmm. magic. And where does that come from?
I don't know. I'm going to make...
Shadow and maybe a couple centuries of practice.
Well, but the shadow is his shadow, too, so... Or was this... No, wait,
the shadow,
the shadow
was
there before. That's true.
Right, so he's had a lot of practice, mm-hmm. a lot of time to practice.
But then the question is... What is this shadow, and where does this shadow come from? And And, you know, I have to make the compulsory Star Wars reference here. If there is an apprentice, there is always a teacher.
Yes, exactly.
So who is the teacher of the teacher?
So what I'm kind of suspecting is there's you had Rumple. You thought Rumple was the most evil creature in the whole universe. And then first you had the evil queen, then you had Rumple. So now Pan is even more evil than Rumple.
Yeah.
So I now have the idea that behind Pan, like there's the emperor. So that there's someone we don't know yet who is kind of pulling all the strings.
Well, but I think in this situation, it is the Shadow. I mean, it's the Shadow who kills Mother Superior. He escaped from that ship.
Yeah, Pan let him loose.
Pan seems to have power over him, but is that truly the case? Or is actually Pan just thinking that he controls the Shadow, and is it ultimately the Shadow that controls him? It's this whole, you know, dynamic, you know, how much do you can you really control evil before it starts to control you?
Yeah, but it also makes me ask, why Mother Superior, of all people in Storybrooke, why did he pick her? Because she has magic too?
Because she's good. If the Shadow is the embodiment of evil, and Mother Superior is the blue fairy, is Mother Superior in a nut, and she kind of represents perfect goodness, although character-wise we haven't seen 100% of that from her, but it's the embodiment of, she's the blue fairy, she's the little blue star, the first star we wish upon, and you know, that all of our dreams come true, all our goodness, when we're good and we're very, very good. And I think they're trying to show the dichotomy of it.
Yeah. Well, and I think that he needs to take out the people that really might have the power to stop this new curse. But I'm wondering, what is the motivation of the Shadow? Where does this come from? Are we even going to see where that comes from? After all, we've now left Neverland. And so it's kind of, you know, just narratively, it doesn't make sense to go back there. And like they did in Lost, you know, in the last season, where you finally get to figure out the origin of the black smoke. It doesn't make sense if you're in Storybrooke. That is kind of like this disjointed. And I don't know. Just very, very curious to see how they are, if they are going to resolve this, or whether, you know, the Shadow is just taken for granted. And how come that there's this also this question of Henry now has a protective spell over his heart. Apparently it's a very strong spell, because even evil Pan can take away his heart. But now, in the last episode, last week, and I'm not sure if you've talked about that, he's trying to kill Henry just by taking his shadow, like he did in, or like the Shadow did in with the Mother Superior. So what's going on there? I mean, what is Pan's... So clearly Pan cannot get Henry's heart. So is this new power that he tries to seize, is that just a replacement for what he ultimately wanted? He wanted to have all power, so now he's just going to be happy enough with having control over Storybrooke? I don't know. It's weird. Let's talk about this father-daughter moment between Prince Charming and Emma. At the harbor.
I just can't shake the feeling something bad is still going to happen, and I need to do everything I can to stop it.
Emma, you can't think like that.
Why not? Bad things do keep happening.
And so do good things. But if you think like that, you miss out. There's more to life than just looking for the next fight. You know, you got to look for the moments.
Moments?
Yes. Life is made up of moments. Good ones, bad ones, but they're all worth living.
No, I seem to be a magnet for the bad ones.
Well, then all the more reason to look for the good moments in between the bad ones.
And you think having lunch with Neil will be a good moment?
I don't know. Does he eat with his mouth open?
I'm not sure I'm ready.
What's the harm of finding out?
This was what I call like a Morgan Freeman moment, where you always have in movies, you have this wise guy and he sits down with the main character and gives like some life lessons. And it sounds like something you would print on a... You know, on a calendar. Fortunately, there was some humor to kind of like compensate for the gravitas of what he says. But I was like, oh, come on. Who talks like that?
I completely cracked up when Emma said, I think you're just trying to keep me away from Hook.
Yeah.
And then Dave's like, oh, come on, I'm a married man.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, that was kind of funny. He's getting edgier.
Well, it's good to see them giving him something to do.
Yes.
Besides just chasing, you know, Mary Margaret or Snow around and saying, let's do this or let's do that. So it was good to see his character come back.
But still, I found this life lesson a little bit over the top. And it's like, okay, are you referring here to, you know, this, there's more in life than just looking for the next fight? Is that referring to your you know, you becoming a dad again or something like that? I don't know. It's
all setting them up for the baby.
Yeah. I feel it, you know, Charming and Snow, story-wise, I think it is time for them to, you know, go on a second honeymoon. And just leave the series for like a year or so. Let's say 9 months and then come back.
There you go.
Well, really, we did discuss that briefly in the last episode with Inga about where they might go in the spring. And we said that they could use an element like in Battlestar Galactica or some of the others, where when they come back, a certain amount of time has passed.
Oh, and, that's a good one.
If I make it to the end of this episode, then we'll talk about spoiler or projections. So.
But the problem is, of course...
That would solve a few problems, kind of get the time caught up with how much time has really passed.
Yeah. Yeah, they could do that. But then again, they're filming stuff now, I suppose, in preparation. So, yeah. I mean, the pregnancy is not going to... stop for the winter break. So, yeah, they need to figure out a way to get these people out of the way. And the same is, and just humanly, it's just actors. These people are going to have a child, so you want to give them some time off for that, right?
It's not like one parent. You only have one parent in the cast, but you have both parents in the cast. So of the child.
Yeah, well, so, that's what we hope.
We don't know that she may be due right there at the end of one episode, one season, and one during the interim. Mm-hmm.
Well, no, that you think so? Oh well,
just announced it.
No, you're right. You're right because we're looking. What we're watching now has been filmed in the fall. Actually, you can tell by the way Storybrooke looks. There's all these, you know, beautiful autumn-colored trees in the background. So that's been filmed a couple of months ago, probably. So, yeah, I don't know.
It was probably filmed in September.
Yeah. You got the maple leaves and everything that totally gives it away that this is Canada.
I'd be surprised if they're not filming the spring season finale in January.
Actually, I had seen pictures because after I watched this episode and was like, oh, she looks really pregnant. I went and like Googled and I found a whole bunch of pictures of them filming and she is really pregnant.
Okay.
Like they're really trying hard to hide it, but it's like she's like beach ball pregnant.
Wow.
So she's due soon. Yeah. So she could have a good hiatus. Or I had a couple of ideas of how they might how they might have hidden or written in her pregnancy or kept her out. And the one I pitched in the last episode was that the second half of the season is all in the Enchanted Forest. Either they all go or they get a team together like they did before and go to the Enchanted Forest. It's going to have to be Regina so she can interact with, what's his name? Robin Hood. Emma, the usuals, but they'll leave Charming and Snow behind in Storybrooke to have the reuniting. Mm-hmm. And then I predicted that the flashback scenes would be when Snow was pregnant. So anytime
Snow is pregnant with Emma.
With Emma, right. So anytime that the actress appears, she could be in the scenes pregnant.
That's going to be tricky because I feel that they totally are, you know, out of new stories to tell about Charming and Snow.
Right. So they leave them behind, like they left Belle behind, and Belle just appeared in like what?
I had another solution actually for the whole pregnancy thing. She could just be so distraught with everything that happens and the traumatized by what happens to Henry and Pan that she gets a cheeseburger addiction. Which would explain the beach ball size belly, but probably not the most elegant solution to the problem. Okay, I didn't say that actually. Let's let's see what happens to Pan.
So what exactly did Pan come down here to get?
What?
Please tell me you didn't keep it down here.
Where else would I keep it? What is it? What did Pan take?
A curse?
No, Felix. The curse. A curse that tore everyone from the enchanted forest and dropped them here.
You broke me out of jail to tell me how everyone got to this town?
I broke you out of jail. Because this spell is going to give us everything we've always wanted.
Why would Pan even want the curse? I already cast it.
And I broke it.
Well, that doesn't mean he can't cast it again. And this time, without your parents' true love woven in, even you would be powerless to break it.
I don't understand. We're already in this land.
What exactly would casting the curse in Storybrooke do now?
The other lost boy, it kind of sounds like Pan kind of stole something more from the vault than just the curse, you know. Like, really, I don't know, some smoke or whatever. This was quite a revelation. I totally didn't see this coming. So he stole the curse that made everyone forget. And apparently the curse can just be done again.
Yes, but Gold says without the true love thing woven in, so Emma wouldn't be able to break it.
There's just need a new
one
savior.
Little problem.
Yeah? Which is?
Episode 2. Season 1, episode 2. Do you remember what it was titled?
Nope. This is a trivia question.
What did Cora couldn't do? She couldn't enact the curse because she couldn't do this, but Regina could and she did. What do you need?
The thing she loved the most.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, how about Rumpel?
Oh, so you're saying Pan, to enact the curse, would have to kill Rumpel.
Yes.
Well, no, because it's the thing you love most. There is no love between Peter Pan and Rumpel. Yeah.
Well, you would assume, though, if he loved anything, it would be a son, right?
Yeah, but I have not seen any trace of him loving his son. I mean, after all, he abandoned him. And so but that's might
Maybe
actually
Felix.
Be the big problem. Hmm?
Maybe Felix is just his most loyal subject.
Nah, I mean, he's just kind of like the dude. Yeah, let's just seize power.
Yeah, but remember,
man.
Regina
cool.
killed the horse slash unicorn, and it was the thing she loved most. And he was like, "No, we're silly. You're so silly." You know, think. And she's like, "Oh, hmm."
But the thing that Pan loves most is himself. So he'd have to kill himself.
Yeah.
Or could it be, you know, the thing he loves most is actually who he was. So it's going to be his body or something like that that he kills.
It's going to be the one thing that holds him back, his love for his son.
Yeah, but is there truly love for his son? Where is it? I don't see
Pan
it.
Pan can't have a son. He tried to get rid of him.
Yeah.
But he does still love him.
Do you think so?
I
well,
do.
Maybe as well, much he, as he is capable of it.
He says so.
It says most. If there, so.
If there's any.
So in Pan's case, the one he loves a little bit.
Yeah.
Is there any spoiler out there that what's-his-name isn't coming back as Rumpel? I don't know. I don't know.
Think they can get rid of Rumpel
Stiltskin.
Oh, there will
be a mutiny if they kill
off Rumpel. Then people will stop watching. Yeah. I will stop watching, honestly.
I will say, though, that the idea that Pan picked up the curse and that he might enact the curse and what it could do to them all was one of the best twists and one of the most, I mean, it made me as excited for this next spring season as when they all jumped off to Neverland.
So
I did not see that coming. I mean, that was one that I couldn't figure out what Pan would steal from there was worth it, you know, and I thought it was just a way to, you know, create power, but it never dawned on me the curse would be there.
So let's speculate here for a second. What do you think could, you know, what situation does he want to create? Of course, he wants to have power. He wants everyone to forget. But how is that going to be, you know, practically? What is it going to look like?
What I think what he will do is send everybody back to the Enchanted Forest.
Mm-hmm.
And so the whole Storybrooke is empty.
Okay, but he said time will stand still.
He can find his new lost boys and start a new Neverland, like he says.
In fairy tale land.
No,
if he sends everyone back to where they came from, where does Henry go? Everyone else was born in the Enchanted Forest.
Phoenix.
But Henry is from Earth, from this world, from this realm, so to speak. So wouldn't he stay behind?
In theory.
I could send him back to school, the actor that is. Or no, but
another way to write him off.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to do that. But I was. It seemed to me that what he said was that everyone's going to forget and they're just going to live in Storybrooke. Time will stand still, and he would basically take the role of Regina. He would be the mayor or whatever.
But I don't think
or it's the same thing we have had again. So everybody's going to be sent back to the Enchanted Forest, say, except for Henry, and Henry is again trapped in the new Neverland after just being rescued from the old Neverland. So
Hashtag save Henry all over again.
Yes.
That would be complicated.
Although, did you notice the hashtag on this episode? Pan never fails.
Mm. Yes.
Interesting.
No, I didn't notice that.
I wonder if something could go wrong. He tries to cast a spell, but let's imagine that you truly need to kill someone you love most or something. And since Pan doesn't have anything he loves except for himself, something backfires, and instead of creating what he wants, it's going to transport them into yet another realm, you know, one of those lands beyond the doors that we saw in that circular room. Oh. I mean, there could be another. It's not necessarily
Mulan's
always.
Land. Mulan's land, maybe.
Nah, it's too boring.
Oh.
I thought they already
put him back where Mulan and King and Robin Hood are. But what was the original intent of the curse? Because Rumpel wrote the curse. So what did he write it to do?
So that he
to get
would
him
be
to where there was a land without magic, where Bay was.
Yeah, a land without magic.
And he wrote the failsafe into it.
Could
would it translate?
If they go to a land without magic, they also can go to the realm of. Dracula, how do you say that? Frankenstein.
Oh, the black and white science land or whatever.
That would be extremely boring.
Oy, black and white. Everybody's going to complain about their TV set. What if they end up on Tatooine? Sorry, I didn't say that.
Did we do Oz yet?
Oz?
We haven't mentioned
but
Oz.
But Oz has magic.
I think there's a problem with rights.
Yeah,
for Oz.
Copyrights. Oh. Probably too complicated.
But we still have to resolve that.
I think they'll end up in Enchanted Forest.
Yeah, because we have to get those loose ends with Robin Hood and the Merry Men.
Yes.
Mulan.
Yeah. Well, is that truly a loose end? I think that kind of
they showed that Robin Hood is Regina's true love, so they need to do something with it.
But I don't think you need the others. I mean, that's always all been resolved. I mean, Mulan is now joining the Oh, yeah, no. If you bring back, you're right. If you bring back Robin Hood, you'll bring back Mulan. Because she's part of that group.
Then, in theory, you'll bring back Aurora and Philip.
Oh, yeah.
Yawn. I hope not. I'm so glad they're out of the way.
Well, we're doing something because I did see they're casting a new villain.
A new villain?
Villain.
We're getting
they
into
won't say
spoiler.
What the villain is.
Spoiler alert.
We're getting
sorry.
Spoiler territory.
Well, I don't have any other details besides there's a villain.
But so, I think that it makes sense, and it makes sense that Peter Pan gets killed. I don't think they can sustain him for another half. I as much as I like the actor, but I think that would be pushing it because we now know who he is, we know what his play is, we know what he wants. So there's really not much to keeping him around. They've revealed everything there is to reveal. So I think that he was mostly written in for this first half of the season. And yeah, you need something new to happen.
So how does he get back in his own body? Because they are still swapped.
I think there's just going to be a confrontation between the two, right? And it's going to be Henry who is going well, and Emma, she's the savior. That was another thing. She seems to have embraced her role as a savior. You never get a day off. She's worried. I mean, Emma has been she's always saving the day. So ultimately, it's something with Emma and Henry. I think. There's going to be confrontation with Peter Pan. Give me back my body. No!
The invasion of the body snatcher.
Give me back my accent. I don't like to speak like a 12-year-old. Oh, anyway, I think it is time to play the sound of the promo for what is going to be the finale of this first part of the season. And then we're going to be, for 3 months, we're going to be in withdrawal. And we'll have to wait until March before this whole thing starts again. The end of March. My goodness. You know,
March 9th, I think I read somewhere.
Oh, that's good. Well, that's a little bit.
Right, in time for spring break in the States.
Right. I'm not sure what I'm going to miss most, the show, the television show, or just a banter with all you guys.
We'll have to think of something else to talk about for 3 months.
Yes.
And well, we can always revisit.
There is still the whole, you know, spin-off series that we might be able to cover. But I'm not sure if I have the courage to do so.
I just deleted them off my DVR.
Yeah, we'll see.
Your DVR got the spell that makes it forget everything as if it didn't exist?
I'm sure it's available on Hulu or ABC online.
Very well. Okay, well, I think it is time to play the sound of next week's promo. And so for all of you that don't want to hear that, thank you for listening and hope to see you back next week. And here we go.
All new ABC next Sunday on the Once Upon a Time Hunter finale. Peter Pan's final act of vengeance.
Can't I be free of you?
Could destroy one of their own. And unleash a curse. The face of Storybrooke.
Everyone will go back to where they're from.
In ways no one could imagine.
It's coming from all sides. There's no escape.
Once Upon a Time, the winter finale, next Sunday at 8, 7 central on ABC.
Ooh, that sounds really cool. Can't wait to see it. I'm pretty sure they're gonna wow us with that episode because it will be,
so,
you know.
So some curse is being fired off.
Yeah. We'll see. Anyway, next week we will talk about all that and more. So thanks for listening. Go to sqpn.com for all our other shows. And again, may the force be with you. Wait, wrong show. See you later, guys.
Bye.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.